And all the anger was already pretty near gone. Then I went to him. You know that I never touched my father's hands for years? And I grabbed his hand and I said, Dad? I said, you gotta forgive me. I said, I had a hatred for you for years and years and years.
Stai Gute! Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear more from Chester Martin of the Mi'kmaq Nation in New Brunswick, Canada. Chester was trapped by hatred toward his father, and it's not something that he could break free of on his own.
I don't know how slowly I started, you know, visiting my father, and the anger wasn't all that. I had to work on it for years, and, you know, I started easing off and everything, and, I wasn't miserable anymore. My life was changing a little bit. I was more calm, and then I started going to church, and I don't know what happened. I just kind of lost contact of going to church again and started doing things my own way and started driving highway truck. And one night I was sleeping in the truck and it's like somebody woke me up, you know. And I said, what are you doing again? He said, well, you're going back to your old routine. You're miserable. You're hateful. And stuff that goes in my head. And then they used to have them little churches for truckers, you know. Started going to them churches. And I remember one guy picked me up from the truck stop. He said, you want to go to church? And this is Chicago, Illinois. Took about 15 of us, and I walked in that church, and there must have been about 3,000 people there, all different kinds of nationalities. You know, I looked around, and people were praising the Lord and singing and everything else, and I started singing. And I started going to them truck churches all over, and they started to know me, And I wasn't really looking after my health, and I was getting bigger and bigger, fatter, you know. And I guess I was destroying my health. And I remember a time I had a heart attack in 1999. And I was laying in the hospital in Frederick, Maryland. And the guy said, you had a heart attack. And they sent me to Washington, D.C. And I guess, I don't know what they did over there. They did something and sent me back home. And when I got back home, I had a massive heart attack. And for some reason, I knew I wasn't going to die. I knew deep inside my heart that God had a plan in my life for me. I didn't know what the plan was, but I knew. Even a doctor looked at me, cardiologist, looked at his report and looked up in the ceiling. And he said, I don't know what happened. He said, you should be dead. I don't know what saved you. I said, I do. I said, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, saved me. There's a purpose in life for me. Came back one day, I was sitting up, went to the restaurant to have breakfast. I looked over, there was a minister and a missionary worker. And I prayed. I said, if these two guys come up by my table and invite me to their table, I said, I'll go to their church. I didn't finish praying that prayer. And all of a sudden, Gordon Green came up. Hey, he's a missionary worker for the prison. And I said, would you like to join us? And I knew then that I made a promise to God that I'll join the church. Because I stopped going to church for a long time. And I said I was going to go to their church, and I've been going to their church since then. And I rededicated my life. And about 2 weeks later, I joined that church, and my buddy Vince was there. They put me in a chair and set me in a couple of preachers and Vince and a couple other people that prayed over me. It felt like there was something inside that came out of me. And it felt good. And I felt there was God in my life, Jesus. And I couldn't explain the feeling, but just the feeling that came has been with me ever since. That, you know, I know I fall down a lot. But it says in the Bible that, all you gotta ask God to forgive you, And I ask Him to forgive me every day, every morning, afternoon, evening. I still have my struggles. I try to learn everything I can, but I don't know, because of the booze, too much booze, and from the 6 years that I drank. Or is it my father, when I was a baby, he passed out, and my aunt found me. She said I was almost dead. I was all blue. And they brought me back when I was just a baby. I don't know, but it's not that I don't try, because I try to learn, but I can't. I can read today that before I couldn't read. I read the Bible today, some of the words I don't understand. I got people like Vince, Larry helping me all the time. Me and wife were going to Bible studies for a while, then we stopped going. But we've been saying that we're going to start Bible studies in our own house. Then we'll have to start. My mother passed on 4 years ago. For some reason, she was in a coma. I don't know if she was in a coma, but that hose was stuck in her throat. She couldn't talk. And then she could only move her hand while you were talking to her. She'll move, touch you. And I remember telling her, you need Jesus in your life, Mom. And the doctors came about a couple hours later, and they said, we got to take your mother off the machine. They said, we got to guys let her go. Then we talked about it as a family. Okay, we'll let her go. I went in again, and I prayed to God and holding her hand. I said, if you can only bring her back. I said, I don't want my mother to go to hell. I was talking to God, like if I was talking to you. I said, I don't want nobody to go to hell. And she's got to have Jesus in her heart. So they took the machines off, and I said, okay, she goes, she goes. And she started improving a little bit. And the doctor was amazed. He said, I seen you talking to her. I seen you moving her hand. Every time you said something, she moved her hand. We're going to ease off the medication and take the hose off. And she said, if she gets better, we'll send her to Moncton, New Brunswick, the big hospital. And I said, good. But he said, if she goes, she goes. I'll accept that. And I talked to the family. And she came around, started coming around, and they sent her to Moncton. Then 2 days in Moncton, she lasted a week in Moncton, but 2 days in Moncton, she came around slowly. Then one night, evening, I went to visit her. I said, Mommy, remember what I talked about at the hospital machine? She said, no. I said, would you have to have Jesus in your life before anything happens to you? Well, I said, nothing's going to happen to me. He said, would you like to have Jesus in your heart? I said, I have Jesus in my heart. I said, if I die, I said, I'll go to heaven. This is when I was talking to her in my own language. And she said yes. And she accepted the Lord. She was so happy. And we talked. And her face just lit it up. And I knew she had Jesus in her heart and she was going to heaven. And a day later, I went back. Me and my brother Michael went to visit her. And the first thing I walked in, he said, "Let's pray." I said, "Yeah, okay, let's pray." And we prayed. And I prayed and she listened. And she was happy. And then 2 days later, we got a call. You know, she passed on. She by herself. I believe she was by herself. I believe Jesus was there. You know, her heart couldn't take it anymore. She lost both of her legs, you know. Diabetic complications. And I know she went to heaven. And I want to go back to when my father had his heart attacks. And I remember going to the hospital. I didn't want to go. But God was pushing me. You got to go. You got to go see him. And I walked in. And my wife walked in. And I see him laying there so helpless. And all the anger was already pretty near gone. Then I went to him. You know that I never touched my father's hands for years? And I grabbed his hand. I said, "Dad, I said, you got to forgive me. I said, I had a hatred for you for years and years and years." And he looked at me. I said, "I know that." And his hand, his face was lit up. And my father, when he got sober, I think he got saved. And for the listeners, you know, there's a lot of stuff out in this world that tells us, you know, there is no God. But the scriptures tell us there is. And I believe in it.
Is there someone that you're finding difficult to forgive? Consider, my friend, that we've all offended God, and yet he graciously offers to forgive us. Do you know how much that cost him? Look at the cross. You see, God has to judge wrongdoing. That's why Jesus came. He came to die in our place. That's what it cost him. Then God raised him up from the dead, declaring that justice was satisfied. Now he offers complete forgiveness to those who will put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. God tells us in his word, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Receive God's forgiveness, and then go forgive the ones who've offended you. Are you trusting the Lord? We'd love to hear about it. And if not, we'd be glad to help point the way. You can write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. Our web address is withoutreservation.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell. So be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.